Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is August 6, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that, but we are at that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell. Let him know you're going to call him at 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886. You can find all the updates and breaking news about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives. And all of our contact information is at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime.
Let's thank our listener base in worldwide places like Bucharest, Romania.
Wow, you got that right.
Oslo.
I did not think. Okay, folks, I admit I tried to trip her up. I didn't think she'd get Bucharest, you know. Okay, go on.
Yeah, and Oslo, Norway, Westminster, London, and in the USA, we have Atlanta, Georgia, Arlington, Texas, Fresno, California, and San Jose, the number one listeners that listen to the podcast later tonight. They hit it again this week?
Yeah, they did. They're hitting it over there in L.A., and I want to bring this up real quick. Now, why it says so, it's a lot of people, I realize, they're not here in their cities. And I do pull up the thing. The podcast tells me where they're at. But if, like, say, your internet, let's say you live in a small town, like we live in a small town, it doesn't register whenever we listen. It doesn't register us, but it registers at Wichita, Kansas, or someplace where the connecting main hub is at. So, folks, I'd really like to test this theory out. And so would you please send me an email at radio@messiahsbranch.org. radio@messiahsbranch.org, or text to my phone, 316-619-4886. Let us know what city you're listening from, because I want to test this area out, especially if we haven't ever mentioned your city before. If you want, you can even tell me how you listen to us, and we won't use your text to email you back or to solicit donations or none of that. I'm just curious where everybody's at. And if I'm missing you, like if Fresno was pointed out to me, I know a supporter of ours lives in Fresno, I talked to him the other day, he said, well, you ain't missing Fresno in a while. But it doesn't show up on my map. It shows up something close to Fresno.
Yeah, I remember I got a small donation from a lady one time that listens to the radio member. She was in another country. I don't remember what country it was, but her son downloaded an MP3 player, and she listened
right.
to it. Yeah. So.
Okay. But so anyway, folks, if you can text us, that's radio@messiahsbranch.org, or text me at 316-619-4886. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program today, tonight, amen and amen. Now let's have that song.
Grace you bestowed.
Ben, for the record, in that song, you know, he talks about giving up his life. He gave up his life. He didn't have his free choice. Just like it has to be your free choice to give up your life. That means your old sinful life and start over. And that'll be, we do have a scripture that we're going to be using here in a few minutes, and you'll see how it goes along with it. But folks, really, as we get closer and closer to the wire of the election and the conditions in America, and we see all these things happening. My question to you, has the Western Church woke up yet? This is something that we're going to get into. Are you doing anything about it? I mean, if you woke up, are you speaking about it? Are you telling other people? What are you doing? Are you supporting talk radio or the other people that are out there doing things? You need to do something. And most assuredly, you need to be in deep prayer and praying for those on the front line. Now, I have this very famous quote, and yes, there's a lot of variations out there, and I don't think anybody really knows the history of it. So, let's get right into this.
Excuse me. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. But then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
Okay, and a lot of people might just think, well, that's just something somebody wrote up. But no, this was written by Martin Niemöller. Niemöller made a confession in his speech for the Confessing Church in Frankfurt on 6th of January, 1946. And this is a partial translation of that. The people who were put in the camps then were communists. Who cared about them? We knew it, and it was printed in a newspaper. Who raised their voice? Maybe the Confessing Church? We thought communists, those opponents of religion, those enemies of Christians, should I be my brother's keeper? Then they got rid of the sick, the so-called incurables. I remember a conversation I had with a person who claimed to be a Christian. He said, perhaps it's right. These incurably sick people just cost the state money, so they're just a burden to themselves and to others. Isn't it best for all concerned if they are taken out of middle society? Only then did the church, as such, take note. Then we started talking until our voices were again silenced in public. Can we say we aren't guilty or responsible? The persecution of the Jews, the way we treated the occupied countries, were the things in Greece and Poland, in Czechoslovakia or in Holland, were written in the newspapers. I believe we, Confessing Church Christians, have every reason to say, me culpa, me next. We can talk ourselves out of it with the excuse, but it would have cost me my head if I had spoken out. We preferred not to keep silent. We preferred to keep silent, rather, he says. We're certainly not without guilt and fault. I ask myself again and again, what would have happened if in the year 1933 or 34, there must have been a possibility of 14,000 Protestant pastors and Protestant communities in Germany that had defended the truth until their death. If we had said back then it's not right when Hermann Göring simply puts 100,000 communists in the concentration camp in order to let them die. I can imagine that perhaps 30,000 to 40,000 Protestant Christians would have had their heads cut off, but I can also imagine that we would have rescued 30 to 40 million people, because that is what it's costing us now. This speech was translated and published in England in 1947. It is so valid that this man was a Nazi supporter when it started off. Martin was a German Lutheran pastor and theologian born in Lidstadt, Germany in 1892. He was an anti-communist and supported Adolf Hitler's rise to power at birth. But when Hitler insisted on supremacy of the state over religion, he became disillusioned. He became the leader of a group of German clergymen opposed to Hitler. In 1937, he was arrested and eventually confined in Dachau and another concentration camp that I can't pronounce. He was released in 1945 by the Allies. He continued his career in Germany as a clergyman and as a leading voice of penance and reconciliation for the German people after World War II. Folks, wake up. Listen to what this man said. This history repeats itself, and it's repeating itself right now as the 501(c)(3) church has been silent and politically correct way too long. It is silent as Christians across the world are being slaughtered in prison for their faith. When do they speak out about the sin of this country? When do they speak out? They speak not against abortions, which is the sacrifice of children to Moloch. They let prayer and the Ten Commandments go out of the schools, and now schools teach our children Islam and socialism as we teach children to do all kinds of weird, abnormal sex like Chuck California and their things. We've talked about it before. They spoke not and speak not against same-sex marriage, and now they are telling you that you cannot have church 501(c) or gather for free speech unless it's to riot and burn for their cause. They stand by now as Bibles are being burnt. When will the body of Messiah wake up? The church says we are we're flying out before the tribulation. Really? What do you call this going on around the world? The 501(c) church, even though they do not know it, is an extension of the state, as you're required to do no political speech. Pastors of most of the ones that are a chain of churches must follow what the church says or be fired. They have to sign a doctorate statement saying that they will follow the doctrine of the church, or they simply get fired. So are the pastors hirelings? Or let's see what the scripture says.
John chapter 10, 1 through 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. The parable spake Jesus unto them. This parable Yeshua spoke unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Yeshua said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am at the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am at the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Stop a second. Okay, the first part of this parable is dealing with identifying sheep, that you identify his voice, but we're starting now to get into the part that I was talking about. But, folks, this is a one whole parable. I don't just give you pieces, but this is very important. There's only one way, and there's only one real pastor, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach. But we are ministers of him. But let's go on, because here comes the important part.
Okay, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Stop. Does a modern day pastor, out of fear of being fired, just talk within his doctrine? Well, what if he hears from Yeshua and it's contrary to doctrine, but he signed a statement saying that he agrees in pre-trib rapture? Does he risk being fired and losing his house and his car and all those things, or support of his family? Or does he tell the sheep the truth? Go ahead.
But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am a good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep.
Stop. A pastor lays down his life. You go through risk. You do what you're letting the Spirit to do, not what the state tells you and not what a doctrine of, now we're talking about a chain of churches. You know, if you go in, we talked about this with Pastor Dana, and so did, Stan Johnson brought it up on the radio when we had him on. You're talking about how churches must the pastors have to sign a doctrine that will stay within that.
And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again, or that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
Okay. All right, so a couple of things. Number one, that's how it goes along with the song. The song pointed out that Yeshua laid down his own life. Folks, this is in John chapter 10, 1 through 18. You need to read it for yourself. It's within all things. You need to check it. But the 501c church, people don't know it, but they are an arm of the state and of the government, in the sense that when you sign up for a 501c, you agree to do no political speech. That's what happened to the church. The church went silent, and then all things have been coming bad since the Western church changed into the 501c. So this has been ongoing for a while. It came about with the Johnson Amendment, because like we've said many times on this program, Johnson was a womanizer and a drunkard, and the church in Texas was speaking against him, and in 1958, I think it was, he came up with the Johnson Amendment to another bill, which created the 501c church. And they agreed to it. Why? To get a number so they could get donations easier. So that was out of greed. That was out of greed. That was out of greed. There's no reason to that. And it also hampers us. While you can make a donation, if you want to claim it on your taxes, you can take our thank you note and do that. But that isn't the point. You don't. The church, even in the where the IRS documents say, it does not say that the church has to become a 501c, because we are already considered non-tax accessible. And yes, Frank, that's what I'm talking about. The 501c is a corporation, and a corporation is a creation of the government, and that's what we're talking about. So you keep your ears open, Frank. I already covered that. But that, I'm talking to the producer. But anyway, so the point is, folks, that is the point. Going back to the pastors in the scripture, a pastor or anybody that's of the Word of God, you know, if your speech is hampered by where you're worried about losing money about it, or you're worried about losing a job about it, and Yahweh tells you to do something, then are you a hireling?
Are you a pastor of the government or a pastor of the Lord?
Oh, that's a big one. I didn't think of it that way. A pastor of the government. Okay, tell them where they can find that.
You can find all of our information about the radio archives and about the Mission Church, and all of our contact information is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoots. At times the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. Yet time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. But what it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it 'cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts the thin. When He's through, we may not see good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
The Bible says that Jesus is God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We are told that He is the image of the invisible God, and that by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Bearing this in mind, let us consider the fact that it was Jesus who in 6 days created the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God, Elohim, Jesus, ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God, Elohim, Jesus, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work. Yes, it was Jesus who sanctified the Sabbath day at the time of creation, thousands of years before the commandments were given on Mount Sinai. It was Jesus on Mount Sinai who wrote the commandments in stone, and it was Jesus who laid down His life to pay the death penalty required for breaking the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy on the American Boys Radio Network. You know, I feel kind of jelly about that prophecy hour bit. I mean, you put a point, well, our program, you know, we have 7 to 8. We have a couple of minutes of lead-in in it and different things. And so, actually, the program ends up being about 43 minutes. So, what should I change it to? Messiah's Ranch Prophecy, 43 minutes?
No.
I'm joking.
You always count commercials and everything in your time.
I know. I was just joking. You know, trying to have a little bit of fun after all, everything is so bad. Anyway, last week, it just seems like it gets worse and worse. Last week, and you should use this time, folks, there's kind of a little, to me, there's a lull in things, or maybe in between birth pains, in the sense that things are going to get really bad right around election time and after.
Yep.
And don't yawn, that makes me want to do it. Anyway, and so you should use this time to stock up and do things like that. Anyway, last week we warned you of the Democratic war games, but I've got more to add to that, but we're going to go back into this a little bit. Okay, yeah, go ahead and let's start back with this. Okay, sorry folks, I had to scroll for it. Anyway, right here.
Okay, Democrats' war games for election includes West Coast secessions.
Secession. Yeah.
Possible civil war. Democrats are contemplating secessions and potential civil war as they game out possible scenarios for a closely contested election, according to the report by Ben Smith in the New York Times column Sunday. The bulk of Smith's column is devoted to the question of how the media will handle election night coverage, given that the result may not be known for weeks.
Stop. So that's because of the vote by mail. And here's the thing about the vote by mail, and I just even put it on my timeline, or my story, as you call it, on Facebook. Let's say that here's a scenario. Joe Biden isn't really campaigning or such or whatever. They're trying to push for mail-in voting, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so if mail-in voting, like Trump says, you might not know the answer for a couple of months or so. So there may not be a clear answer as to who is president, right?
Right.
So you know what happens if within, I think it's like 2 months or less than that, I think it's like January something, if it isn't decided by January something,
Trump wins.
No, not at all. The Speaker of the House becomes the president.
Are you kidding, Pelosi? Are you got to be kidding me? This is their trick. Yeah, discovered. Bam, busted. Drop the mic.
Boom.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That's their plan.
Well, unless, now, see, and here it goes back to that. The church could stop that by going out and voting for getting her where she won't be the Speaker of the House. But then again, with mail-in voting, you know how that goes.
Oh,
but,
no.
But this, that is their ploy.
Oh,
that,
no.
That is, or at least it's one of their things in their deal. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my. Okay. Vote by mail, which many states have only recently adopted intensively to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in polling places, could lead to an uncertain result. However, buried near the end of Smith's column is a report that Democrats have participated in a war game in which they considered several possible outcomes of the election. In one scenario,
John Podesta,
the former chair of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and a leading figure in the party circles, played former Vice President Joe Biden and refused to concede the election. The result, the threat of the secession by the entire West Coast, followed by the possible intervention of the U.S. Armed Forces. But conveniently, a group of former top government officials called the Transition Integrity Project actually gamed four possible scenarios, including one that doesn't look like that different from 2016. A big popular win for Mr. Biden and a narrow electoral defeat, presumably reached after weeks of counting the votes in Pennsylvania. for their war game, they cast John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, in the role of Mr. Biden. They expected him, when the votes came in, to concede, just as Miss Clinton had.
Okay, stop. And right now, Nevada posted, you know, vote by mail. And so this is talking about one place. And so this is going by the playbook. So Nevada says, okay, mail-in voting. Trump's taking them to court.
Yeah.
But it only takes a couple of states to gum it up, you know, especially in a big state like Nevada, because Nevada's a deciding state because of the amount of electoral votes they have. Okay, let's move on with it.
Okay, but Mr. Podesta, playing Mr. Biden, shocked the organizers by saying he felt his party wouldn't let him concede. Alleging voter suppression, he persuaded the governors of Wisconsin and Michigan to send pro-Biden electors to the Electoral College. In that scenario, California, Oregon, and Washington then threatened to secede from the United States if Mr. Trump took office as planned. The House named Mr. Biden president. The Senate and White House stuck with Mr. Trump. At that point, the scenario, the nation stopped looking to the media for cues and waited to see what the military would do. Notably, on election night in 2016, Podesta publicly refused to concede the election to President Donald Trump.
Yeah, he did that night. They didn't do it till the next day. Okay, so what are they up to now? While that's bad, let's add something else to it that popped up. Now, mind you, Obama's been out there, and he is the one really pushing a lot of this stuff. Because let me tell you what, they won't. They're looking to look. I believe that with the Russian investigation and Durham and everything, I believe there's going to be some people they arrest. But they're not going to go. I don't think they're going to directly go to the top yet. People like Brennan, the CIA guy, is going to take the fall, but which they are right now going to be interviewing him in a few days. Point is, I do believe the investigation will lead to arrest, and I do believe that if Trump makes it in office, then they will for sure carry it on through, and that Obama will be brought up on charges if President Trump wins. So Obama is in there trying to stop him at any means. So let's add this to the conversation.
Okay, Obama calls a UN security meeting behind Trump's back, and 17 countries showed up. What are they planning? Former President Barack Hussein Obama was welcomed at the UN over the weekend for a secret meeting of the Security Council, but that's not all. 17 countries, many with close ties to our enemies, China and France, showed up at the meeting to support what we can only imagine is the plan to take over the United States if Trump wins in 2020. Our source inside the UN, Kathleen Lowo, says there has been a lot of tension among developed nations since Trump upped his threats against other countries in nature.
And that's Cynthia. And, man, I guess that is Lowo, or looks like Lowo.
Luho?
Yeah, we try not to say that. Anyway, let's go on.
The UN has no clue how to deal with someone like Trump, who can do whatever he wants regardless of international laws or treaties. They don't understand that we're the United States of America, and we literally only have to care about ourselves. Now they're all worried about, because he's not the first person to float the idea of nuking a hurricane, but because he's the first with the ability to actually do it.
Yeah, amen. So look, go on.
Okay. It seems that the 17 countries that showed up don't want to play nice with the king of the free world. They may want to reconsider. The countries included are Canada, Mexico, Guatemala. What did I say? Guacamole?
Yeah.
I must be going to have tacos tonight.
Yeah.
El Salvador, Honduras, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Puerto Rico, Guam, San Salvador, and Ecuador, Belize.
That's Belize.
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 Forget about the I. Belize.
Belize. Colombia, Nicaragua, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and China and France. That is the coalition of evil, if there was ever one. How many Mexican countries are even on that list?
Yeah, there's the point. That seems like all the South American countries. Now, if you remember right, and let's go with this, if a lot of those people, number one, while we think they're South America, they wouldn't be against America, but they really, in reality, are. If you think about it, we go back to Dmitry Dudeman's statement. What did he say about it? He said that the countries that he pointed out that attacks on America would come from were South American countries. Not all of them that he could remember, but part of them were South American countries.
Right.
That this would come through, and they would have to come through Mexico. I really don't know that we're completely in that place, but everybody sees through a glass darkly. But it's,
well, there ought to be something Trump can do about him going behind his back and doing that. He has no power or authority. What's he doing calling meetings in the UN? That's ridiculous. That's got to be breaking the law somehow.
Well, there is a law about it. It's called the Logan Act, and you're not supposed to do that. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And he's been in, John Kerry's been in violation of it. He's been in, nobody's ever been prosecuted for it, but this would be a perfect thing to prosecute. But right now, you know, he's not in position. It's election time in a short period of time. There's only so many cans of worms they can possibly open. So let's go like this. Well, Barr, who's the guy that's heading the investigation, Attorney General of the United States, he is overloaded right now.
Yeah, he's trying to set things straight, and they're just keep messing up. He's got so much to do.
Well, that's because Obama was the most corrupt president there ever was, at least that we can see. So they keep it's like the layers of an onion. They keep peeling it back, and there's more and more.
And more and more and more. The whole 8 years full.
Well, and it's just like right now, there's since the riots have started, there's over 300 investigations that have been started into investigating the riots as terrorist acts. People think, well, why aren't they just arresting for terrorists? Well, we're not a police state. We can't just go out and grab them and say you was acting like a terrorist. They have to go out and prove it. Be able to prove their case.
And prove that they're paid, and they're paid terrorist groups.
Right.
They are paid to do it.
Right, and they're following the money. They're following the money. So it takes time for those investigations. But on top of that, they think, well, why hasn't the Russian things where everybody did the illegal things against Trump, why haven't those guys been arrested? Well, that is supposed to be done by the end of summer. And we are seeing CIA John Brennan getting ready to be interviewed. That should be the last step in it because a lot of it pointed to him. Afterwards, then he'll turn it over to Barr, Dunham, whatever his name is, will turn it over to Barr, and Barr will decide who to prosecute. That should come out before the elections. But as they peel that onion back, it's the same thing. They keep getting more and more.
And turn more unbelievable things they did.
Right, and these guys aren't supermen. You know, they have to. They have to.
It's like everything. It's got to go through the legal system.
Well, right. But isn't that how you want it? Don't you want them to take, like, if they accused you of something, wouldn't you want them to take time and to do it right?
Well, they got to figure it out, I guess.
Well, they have to figure it out. That's the point. That's what makes America different than other countries. We're not a police state.
If they got so much going, it just takes forever to do one case.
Well, right. And all these cases are very, very well intertwined. There's just one stacked upon another, But so it is getting worse. It is getting worse.
And while they're trying to figure out what they've already did, they're out there doing more.
Yeah, there's the point also.
They just keep adding to it. Hey, I'm still free, so I might as well do this one before they catch me.
Well, and that's why here's a couple of, we can play with a couple of different scenarios. You know, let's look at this first. So he's trying to undermine Trump. I think he's preparing his country to say, look, no matter what, we're not going to let him leave office. You know, that's what it sounds like, especially with their silly little war game things. And Nevada going along with it and saying, okay, we just declared mail-in voting without any debate or any such thing. They declared mail-in voting. And so that's also why how Nancy Pelosi has folded up the coronavirus bill, the next stimulus check, because she said, no, mail-in voting is going to be part of that deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what she's trying to do. And also, they want to keep that $600 out there to keep people from not...
I thought that ended in July.
Well, it did. It did, absolutely. But they want to put it back.
Oh, they want it back in the bill before they pass it.
Right, they want it back in the bill so people won't go back to work.
That's just ridiculous. People... That gives people that get unemployment, and some of them get, $1,200, $1,300 a week? And then they have people on Social Security that they're expecting to live on $1,000 or under a month? That just does not seem right when they worked all their life, and they should have gave Social Security people $600 a week extra instead of, they're going to just give all that money away.
For the record, Social Security was actually, what it was created for.
Yeah, it was created for women and to be able to take care of their families if something happened to their husband.
Yeah, absolutely, because back then when it was first created, women were not really out in the workforce.
They stayed at home and took care of the family.
Which was very important, and that's something else that changed when the 501(c)(3) church came in. But the point is, going back. So it was as a widow's benefit because we didn't have life expectancy as long as we have now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the men would usually die first, and it left widows out there, or an accident happened, it'd be widows and orphans. And it was substantially enough, of a stipend to do it. Things have changed over time.
Yeah, because somebody took all the Social Security money. I don't wonder who that was.
Well, they took this. Well, it was Congress.
Well, yeah, it was.
And Congress keeps. They should have passed a law that said they couldn't borrow with it from it, but they keep borrowing from the Social Security money.
And that's why it's broke.
And that is exactly why it's broke. Otherwise, there would be plenty enough money in there for forever. You know what I'm saying? Because with interest rates and the way that people paying in and everything, it was a pretty good program figured out when they put it in. It's just that it's been, like everything else.
Abused.
So anyway, folks, we're going back to this. I'm talking about the 501(c)(3) church. Folks, you really need to pray about where you're at. If your congregation isn't worried about what's going on, they need to be. You need to be in repentance, but your voice needs to be heard, whether it's heard online and social media or with your loved ones, that these things are coming. I don't know that it will ever be good, peaceful here again. I do know, I believe that Bible prophecy, we have to focus on Israel and some things just that hasn't really happened in Israel yet for America, I think, to be taken out of the way. I don't know. I am not claiming to be God, and I'm not claiming to have a vision or dream from him about that particular thing, but America needs to be repentance. The scripture talks about America being healed, or any country being healed, if they repent and turn back to the Father. The repentance has to come with slaughtering children. Repentance has to come for being quiet about same-sex marriage. Repentance has to come from deforming children and adults and trying to change them into a sex that they are not.
Right.
These things need to be changed. You need to start listening. Folks, we've been saying it on talk radio, as many others have. We pointed out that the schools have been taken over by the leftists, which are really the communists have taken over. We went through the breakdown of what they would do, and they succeeded already in practically every one of them. And so the country needs to turn back to the Father. Be about the Father's business. But right now, it's critically important. You need to make sure you get out and vote, get other people to vote. You need to pray for this country, pray for your loved ones. If you live in a big city, I would get out of that big city ASAP. As you can see what's going on in the cities and in Seattle, now they've started knocking on doors in this. They did do what they said they'd do. In Seattle, they have started knocking on residential homes. And like one guy.
Terrorizing people?
Like one guy, he just last night, come out, told him, hey, could you guys be quiet? I got to work in the morning, and they beat him up, 47-year-old man.
Oh, no.
You know? And there's pictures of him using lasers, and those lasers will damage the eyes. In fact, there's over 100 officers in Seattle that are going to have permanent eye damage from these lasers, and they're shooting them at citizens. This is not a peaceful group. This is not about Black Lives Matter, in which, by the way, George Floyd, they released the whole video, and if you watch it, he resisted arrest from the very first. They did what they did. Maybe it wasn't good that they put their knee on his neck, but he was complaining of not being able to breathe way before they ever took him down.
Because of the fentanyl and meth he had in his system.
Exactly. The fentanyl, he was already in a state of OD.
Right.
At that point. He was already in a state of OD. So anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting Talk Radio. We are only on the air because you donate to us, folks. We don't have the money to pay for this and pay for the podcast and all these things. It takes your donation. I pray all of you would consider a donation tonight about that.
Now, and go over there and check out prophecyhour.com. There's a lot of good information on there. I just seen a headline that he has an article up there about vote by mail chaos. Liberal groups sent thousands of illegal, incorrect, pre-filled absentee ballot request forms to voters. Well, here we go, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. On a high note, though, now, we did get to do something the other day. What did we do Tuesday?
We got to go fill the freezer.
Well, tell us about it. What'd you
do? Pastor Dan got a good donation to buy food, so we went and stocked the freezer with hamburger, and then he went and got pasta. I'm not sure. I didn't get to see how much I got yet, but it's in my kitchen. I get to put it up tomorrow before I get to cook dinner. So I need to go a little early, I think, because he bought a bunch of pasta and he bought all the number 10 cans of vegetables they had, but I'm sending him back.
Yeah, I planned on already going back. And for the record, you know, the donation wasn't specifically for that, but it just, I felt that's what to start, at least to spend in part of it on it.
We've got enough. I think I've got enough for the main parts of the meal. Until at least January, I know I can make it to them. But we also get the food truck that I can have stuff filled in between them. So we're looking pretty good right now.
Well, amen. And that is a good present for it. But here's the point. You know, see, I'm saying we need to be prepared up through the end of the year.
Right.
And the Father took care of the Mission Church meat. We're good with meat to them. We need to buy other things, folks, realistically.
And also, I got a good joke played on me because I didn't have enough toilet paper when I did the hygiene bag, so I went on Amazon and bought a case of toilet paper. Well, I knew the case that I bought had 96 rolls in it. Well, when I got ready to leave Tuesday, the truck pulled up in front of the house and delivered a box of toilet paper. I said, well, that ain't supposed to be here till the 10th. And it was only 80 rolls in. I said, well, they got my order wrong. Well, whoever's been sending toilet paper sent me another case of toilet paper, so thank you.
That's funny. That's funny.
Mine's not here yet.
Yours isn't here yet. Okay, that funny thing. I can't believe 2020, the year of toilet paper.
Who said there's a toilet paper shortage?
That's hilarious. But anyway, and we do need some large print King James Version Bibles, and we don't think that we don't need your support for the Mission Church because we got meat. There's other things that go along with paper products that we have to buy all the time. You have to pay the electric, gas, water, all
Internet.
Those things over there. Internet. Yeah, and it goes back to that, Internet. Now, folks, you can donate online or over the phone, mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help us support, it goes back to that radio. Haven't paid radio airtime this month. If you must, I need to pay, just send ABR $250. And I don't even know how much it costs for, we pay here at home for the Internet for, we have to pay.
It's not paid yet this month either.
Yeah, it's not paid, nor that phone that I tell you to call isn't paid. If the Internet isn't paid, then the phone ain't paid.
Right.
And that's over, isn't that around $100?
Yeah, it's about $150.
So there's just two things. You've got radio airtime, $250 a month, and then Internet, another $150. That's what? $500 a month.
Yeah.
And so we need $500 a month just keep us on the air. So pray about supporting what we do. And above all, why should you do talk radio? Is because we're speaking out. We're spreading the gospel. We're telling you Yeshua HaMashiach is going to come and return. But we're telling you that you need to get saved no matter whether or not it's, I'm not saying it's the end of the world. You need to be saved before you die. I had a fellow come to me and say, can you pray for my buddy? He just died. No, I can't pray for your buddy that just died. I'm not a Catholic. You have to be right before you die. You
can't pray for the dead. You pray for the dead survivors.
Right, but you see the point.
Right.
You know, the point is so you must get right now. You could walk out there and step in front of a car or get COVID for all I know and die from it.
And not recover, yeah.
And
because
not
you
recover.
Can recover.
Yeah, most people are recovering from it. You know, it has less than a 1% death rate, but I don't want to be one of those 1%.
Right.
Okay, so you have anything finally you'd like to say to them?
Well, I did, but it just left my brain because you put me on the spot. That's the way it always is. And when it's not my turn to talk, I'll have plenty to say.
Well, that's the point.
I know what I was going to say now. This next Tuesday, we're having another clothing day. So if you're in and around Wichita and you have anything that you'd like to donate, we're going to have them there going through stuff and getting clothes and whatever we have to give them at 3?
At 3 p.m. And you folks, if you've got something to donate, clothing and stuff, bring it any Tuesday or Friday. Call me about it. We got to get out of here. But folks, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Messiah's return.
And why would that be? Because there will never be any real peace until
the Messiah comes.
He comes and straightens things out, and I can't wait for him to come and straighten
out. I can't either, because I'm going to be riding a horse.
Yep. Amen. Okay. Tell him goodbye.
Okay. Shalom. Have a nice weekend.
Okay. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you'd bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time to Messiah's Branch. Thank you.